limited one had as wide as different passages as usual. Luke chapter 12. Everybody starts leaving when I start to preach. I can't take it. And so I haven't started yet, I haven't gotten mean yet. And Luke chapter 12, kidding. And tonight I want to preach on don't die with your barns full. Don't die with your barns full. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. That happens today, something. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for all it teaches us. Thank you for this parable that Jesus taught. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us to understand it. Help us have an application to our lives. And help us to get the right mindset, the right attitude, the right urgency as the Bible would teach us, Lord. And I pray you'd help us and speak to us in a great way and do mighty works tonight, Father. Lord, we have a lot of secular thinking about these things, and I pray give us godly thinking and help us think like you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this parable, a man comes to Jesus and says, Hey, good master, go ahead and tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And Jesus says something. It's funny. He says, Who made me the divider of your things? Because I can teach you the Bible or heal the sick doesn't mean that I am now the lawyer for your family. And and so then Jesus warns this man. In other words, a man says, Hey, this isn't fair. My brother's not giving me my part of the inheritance. Jesus says, Not. Well, man, you better lawyer up. You better figure this thing out. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Jesus says, You need to be careful about you. And the Bible talks about that everywhere. And so few people get that. You've got to start with you. Don't worry about everybody else. You can't fix your brother if you don't get the thing out of your own eye to see clearly. It's all over the Bible. And Jesus says, you've got to be careful. See, the only person who can ruin your life is you. You'll be a victim of anything. Somebody can mistreat you and do wrong things, but how you respond to them is all you can control. There's just people who do wrong things. If you think you're going to have the right plan and the right strategy where you're not going to be mistreated and wronged in this world, you haven't lived long enough. Because it's a messed up world. It's a sin-cursed world. And there's just people who are going to do you wrong out there. And you know what you can do? You can make sure that you react right. And your heart's right. And you don't get bitter. And Jesus says, Hey, you need to be careful of being covetous. Now, I can just tell you, if somebody came to me and said, Hey, what should I do? My brother's ripping me off and I'm getting my inheritance. And I said, You need to be careful not to covet. It would be very offended. Because everybody, the first thing they want is for you to say, You're right, and you poor thing, I feel bad for you. That's the first thing everybody wants. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, You need to be careful about your covetousness. That's the first thing he says. Now the guy's probably getting ripped off. But do you have daily bread? You know, it's a strange thing, just inheritance especially, because the Bible talks about wealth got speedily and what it does to people, and there's a lot in Proverbs about that. And inheritance will change your family. You will find out that all those three relationships maybe not be quite as sweet as you thought. And you'll find out sometimes people get pretty greedy about things. And Jesus says, you be careful of your covetousness. He says, verse 15, instead of him, take heed, beware of covetousness. Why? For a man's life consists of not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. It doesn't consist of those things. You know, step out of our American mindset for a second. Do you know how much we have? It's really kind of funny. I mean, just take when I grew up, which wasn't all that long ago, you know, everybody had one TV. The TV was huge, but the screen wasn't big. And that TV was wonderful. That TV weighed so much, if there was a nuclear blast, if you could crawl behind the TV, you'd be fine. We didn't have, you know how many people have, if everybody was watching a different TV, they still couldn't beat all the screens. Because there's so much. You ever think of people who have two people in the house and three cars? Like when I was a kid riding a bike, I could ride one bike and hold one next to me a little bit, but I haven't figured out how to do that with cars. And just how many rooms. Now it's not, we have enough rooms for the family, and then one for the boys and one for the girls. It's not that anymore. Now it's a bedroom for me, a bedroom for one kid, a bedroom for the other kid, a bedroom for the other kid. Then we have to have a study, then we have the man cave, and then we have so much. And Jesus says, your life doesn't consist of what you have. If you don't know, what you have doesn't necessarily make you happy. There's a lot of rich people who blow their brains out, okay? It is, and there's a lot of poor people who run around smiles on their faces. Not in America, but around the world. And because your life doesn't consist of what you have. It doesn't do that. Jesus, it's not about that. Then he speaks a parable. He told a story about a man who planted his crops, and boy, they just burst out with everything. And he had so many crops, so much food. And he says, good night. I can't fit all this into my barns. What am I going to do? He said, what I want to do is, if I plan this right, I can do nothing for years and years and years. So he pulled down all of his barns, and he built bigger ones, and then stuffed them full. And says, now, I can just eat, drink, be merry, and do nothing, and just live it up and be lazy and do nothing, and I have food for years and years and years and years and years. And that was the story of the man. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's going to get yourself? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The problem is, first of all, greed. And secondly, lazadaisical attitude. Look what he says in verse 19. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Remember the context. Talking to a guy who wants an inheritance. The guy who wants to get a bunch of money. Why? Because the guy is obviously eating. He's going to Jesus. He's not starving. He's not asking for food. He had a life. He had the food he needed. He had what he needed. But he wanted the inheritance, probably from the parable here, so we can go and give it out. And Jesus says, be very careful about your covetousness. What if you get all that? You don't need it. Then what are you going to do? This guy was a fool because he had all these barns full and he died and somebody else went and took all of his stuff. And what are you going to do if you got a bunch laid up for you and you die? And you have nothing laid up for what really matters. It's common in the Bible, common teaching, Matthew 25. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins where the Lord came back and five had their oil, which is the Holy Spirit. They were saved, and five were not. Matthew 25, then verse 1, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. And by the way, then, what is then? Verse 50, the Lord of 24. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day which he looketh not for him, in an hour he is not aware of. Someday Jesus is coming back, and then he gets a parable of 10 virgins. And he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet their groom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Is that word foolish again? And they were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. Remember, parable we just read in Luke is called the parable of the rich fool. And Jesus said, thou fool. These are foolish brides. And while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, the rapture. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, not so. What happened? Five were accepted and five weren't. Why? Because they weren't ready. And they didn't prepare themselves. And they didn't have oil in their lamps. And they just were thinking it would be okay. And then when the Lord came, they were not ready. They had a lackadaisical attitude. They weren't ready for it. You see these parables, people are just saying, oh, you know, I'm going to be set and I'll be okay and it'll all work out fine. Now watch this. Watch, and this is very important, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a very fascinating chapter. It's one of the only chapters in the Bible where Paul steps aside and says, I'm not writing scripture here. I'm telling you this as a man of God with the Spirit of God in me. And I know the might of Christ, but I'm not giving you commands from God, okay? I'm just telling you what I think. And watch Paul's attitude. See, blasé, lackadaisical, kind of laid-back, kind of lazy spiritual attitude, and not worried about things and kind of laying things up for the future. And then we see Paul's attitude. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 25. It's about being single. And he's going to say, you know what? It's not bad to be single. It's probably a very good time because we're in an urgent time. Now, concerning virgins, I have no new commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that obtaineth mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, I say, it is good for a man so to be single. Art thou bound with a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose in a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Therefore, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spared you. Now, it's about present distress. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they which have wives be as though they had none. You know what he's saying there? Paul's saying we're living in a day where, you know what, if you are married, don't be so anxious. There's a lot of care that comes along with being married, and we're in a day of trouble and a day of distress and a day of urgency. And he says, if you're married, it might be good if you consider yourself not married because you don't know what's going to happen. Hey, the Roman Empire had said this Christianity thing is not going away, and we're going to kill these guys. And persecution is coming against the church. And Paul didn't know if Jesus was coming back or not, but he said, hey, don't lay up anything. You better realize you're in a day where you might not even want to get married. You might want to just live for eternity. You might, if you have be married, you might just think of it as not, because you might have your spouse taken from you and be threatened and to deny Christ with your spouse. You're in an urgent day. It is okay if you aren't married because you got to get ready. Notice the urgency there. Verse 30. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. Okay, you got to eat and all that stuff and take care of your bills. That's fine. But don't abuse this world and get too much into it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. You need to be able to not worry. I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between the wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare on you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. You see the urgency? You follow how he's saying, hey, you don't want to be entangled in this world. You don't want to have a bunch of cares in this world. You may want to act like you don't have anything, you don't own anything, because it is a present distress we live in, and it's an urgent time, and we've got to get urgent. The world has got to be reached, and we're getting the gospel. The whole world is opening up. The Roman Empire is coming against us, and this is an urgent day. And so you better think of yourself as not very attached, not full of carefulness in this life, and worried about how you'll be taken care of and what will happen to your family and all that stuff. It's not that time right now. And you should be ready to attend upon the Lord without distraction, in verse 35. Pretty intense. It's pretty intense. Do you see the difference between two attitudes? One's, I'll fill up my barns and I'll eat, drink, and relax and have a fun time. And you know what? And then God says, you'll die tonight and you'll lose it all. And your barns are full and it means nothing. Paul is saying, hey, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We better be urgent. We better serve God without distraction, not worry about anything, and just be ready to die at any moment. Not worried about the what happens if we die. And all those things, it's a completely different attitude. The Bible Christian and the ones that Jesus calls foolish. I want to say today we live in an urgent day. It's an urgent day we live in today. You know, we live in a day today where we have open doors to reach the world we've never had in our history. It's amazing what you can do right now if you want to. There are countries where you can go there and see as many people saved as you want to. If I wanted to right now, I could get in a plane right now, I could fly to a country, and tomorrow preach in every public school I want to. Class to class to class to class, and just preach salvation every class. I could do that for a month straight, and I could probably have 10,000 people saved. That's the day you live in. Southeast Asia is on fire for God. Pastors are being put out around the world, left and right, left and right, left and right. And some of them are so fast, they're not even trained yet, but they just have to have someone over these churches that are being started. There are believers all over the world. It is an amazing day to be a Christian. Yet also, we've got this pressure coming on us in America. We're starting to get persecuted. They're shutting down Christians' businesses now. They are beginning to get the pressure that, you know, you live in the same type of day as they live in the New Testament. Open doors and persecution. They go together. When nothing's happening, there's no persecution. When God's not doing anything, neither's the devil. He just happened to just let things lie like they are. Understand, you don't live in a day of relaxation. We live in a day where your kids are going to be mighty for God or awful because there's so much pressure on them. It is not a day to relax. It is not a time where we are there without our oil and not being ready for Jesus to come. It is not that day. We live in an awesome day. But it's a day of urgency. It's a day of doing something for God. It's a day not to lay around your barns full, but sell what's in your barns and have enough food and go out and reach the world. And feed some poor people. And make a difference. And do those things. It's strange. When I go overseas, one of the things I notice and just observing with them is in these great churches that are just on fire for God, doesn't matter what country, it's very similar. I go to these churches and they have these amazing teenagers and I'll talk to those teenagers and almost all of those teenagers, well, what are they going to do this year? I'm going to go to the ministry. In my youth group, most of my teenagers, and we were teenagers, most of us went into ministry. I want to say, we live in a day where it's a good thing if you're going to go into ministry. It's an urgent day. It's an important thing. Why would we just be so lackadaisical and not be urgent? The fields are wide to harvest. The doors are wide open. The church is under attack. Our nation is turning, and we've got lackadaisical Christians. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's just such a non-way of thinking that we don't think today. I mean, we're just wrong on this. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know what to do and you aren't doing it, it is sin. Why? Because you don't have any guarantee you're going to be able to do it later. All right? That's a big deal. He says, you know what? You say, someday I'm going to do this, someday I'm going to do that. God says, if you know to do right and you do not do right, it is sin. Because you're presuming God's going to give you and you're going to have that time to do that later. And so God said, don't live that way. Live with an urgency. It's time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the day. Hebrews says over and over, today if you hear his voice. Then the urgency of the New Testament Christians. And they just decided to be serious. Back to our text in Luke 12. Then I just want to talk to you a little bit about just thoughts that run through my mind for a very long time. I probably never said them out loud. Maybe anybody, I don't know, maybe I have. Luke 12. Verse 20, and God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall his soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Don't die with your barns full. Now, I have a family, I have a wife and children, I'm supposed to provide for my own. If I die, my wife will be much richer. Okay? She's provided for. I think that's physical. Yet, prepares in summer, for winter, all that stuff like that. And so but I have to care for those things because I'm married. I like being married, and it's been effective, and my kids will do more for God than I will, I believe, but it's important. And so we take care of those things. We have life insurance. And since I bought the life insurance, my wife is trying to give me those skydiving and scuba diving and shark tanks and all kinds of stuff. We'll do it. But we have those things. You know what? We look and say, that's not sitting with a bunch of money in the bank. And a bunch of time. And a bunch of things we could be doing for God. The day is too urgent. The day is too urgent for you to sit here and think about what you're going to do in 40 and 50 years. The day is too urgent to just let your money sit in the bank. The day is too urgent to let your time be wasted. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's not that time anymore. It's not the 1950s. You don't live in a secure world anymore. Where most people go to church and most people are Christian. It's a nice life and it's nice and easy. And a few missionaries here, and it's not that day. It's an urgent day today. No. Somewhere along the way, Christian parents have been told it's all about careers, 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 and everything is about careers. I've met people tell me, listen, even if you're called to minister, your kid needs to go and get a good education with a secular career. Can you go ahead and show me that there? We live in a day where we are so secular minded. I don't care if your kid's a doctor. If he doesn't win anybody to Christ, it's a waste of a life. I don't care if she's a lawyer. I don't care if she makes $1 billion. It doesn't matter to me. It's not the day where our best and brightest should be doing nothing for God. I love when a young person is called to ministry. It's noble. It's the highest calling. It's incredible. It's a beautiful thing. What my desire is, I want our young people to give at least a year to God, no matter what God has to give them to life. I think the Mormons got it right. You say, no, if they waste their 18 to 20, they will waste their lives and they won't get in their career. Check how successful Mormon kids are. They do real well in life, financially, if that's what you care about. Mormons are very wealthy. Very wealthy. I want to say this. Why wouldn't you want a kid? I wish our young people would get called to ministry. I hope they do, and some of them are. I hope that if one of them wants to come to me when they're 18 and say, you know, Pastor, I'd like to go overseas and live a year overseas. Can you help me figure this out? We'll help you figure it out. I'd like for our young people when they're 12 to start saving so they can spend a year on the mission field. they'll come back so prepared for whatever life God has for them. They're ready for anything. Let them go live in poverty and realize how good they have when they get back to it. Let them go serve people a year and see what it is and meet people's needs. I want us to live with urgency. I want you to consider taking a missions trip. I want you to become a soul winner. I want you to not say, you know what, I just, someday I'll become a good Christian. No, no, it's not someday time anymore. I've got this much money saved up. It's not time to save money anymore. The day is too urgent. Missionaries are all around, and they're hungry, and they're working anyway, and they're in brutal situations, and we can help them. It is not a day for lackadaisicalness. It's not a day for laying around. It's not a day for you saying, I'll be a soul winner someday. It's not a day for you to say, I'll be a good Christian someday. It's not a day for you to live for this life. You'll be poor in this world. Listen, be rich towards God. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? If somebody, and I'm not against somebody growing up being a doctor or a lawyer or a physician or whatever they want to be, an astronaut or anything else they want to be. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that better be God's will, and you better put that in your secondary thing. Number one thing is God's will for my life and serving people and loving people and being a good Christian. God might call you to vocation. I'm not against that. However, it is not a day to say, oh, yeah, I'm still going. Snort some stuff and buy some nice things and get some nice things. You know, I think of Dr. Russell Anderson. He was a chicken farmer, and he just gave his money to God. Chicken farmer. Gave his money to God and gave his money to God. And his chicken farm just kept growing and thriving. He got wealthier and wealthier. And soon he's a millionaire. And he kept giving away and kept giving away and kept giving away. And he started Bible college. One time he gave $1 million to a preacher and said, I'll have a contest with you. I'll spend $1 million. You spend $1 million. Have a contest to see who has more people saved with their $1 million. And this guy just gives his money to God, gives his money to God, and is a soul winner. And he buys stocks, and the stocks go. And he says, more money to give away. You know, he lives in about a 1,500 square foot house. He's probably giving away, I don't know how much, by now, $100 million. He doesn't care about his wealth. He says, wow, God's entrusting me with a lot. Why? Because he knows what matters. And he gives it away, and he gives it away. And he started a scholarship fund, and all these guys who graduated from Bible college, he would give them $10,000 to go start a church. And he just, everywhere you look, this guy spent money and started ministries. Why? Because he didn't want to be rich to But we've been told so much, it's all about your career, it's all about your career, it's all about your career, it's all about getting higher education, it's all about this. Listen, if someone is just a laborer for their life, and they win a lot of souls, and lift a lot of fallen people, and help a lot of broken hearts, that's a very successful life. That's a very successful life. I want to say it's not the day just care about the things of the world. It's not a day for a Christian to have 3-car garages and 5,000 square feet when they have a husband and a wife and 2 kids. It's not that day. It's just not. We'll get to heaven. You want to argue with me? When you get to heaven, we'll see who's right. I want to argue with you. I'm just saying it's not that day. I think Paul was right. I think Jesus was right. They said, hey, isn't it? Don't be fooled. You can build all those giant barns, but you're going to die. And your barns are going to go to somebody else. And what? God, how is it foolish? That's what I'm saying. Again, I'm not against anything else. I'm not against investing. I'm not against having a 401k. I'm not against you going and a kid growing up in a career. I've recommended many people our church, you need to go back to college and get a career. I've done that. We've recommended that. But all that time, it's all secondary. And if it's just a lay up treasures, forget about it. I hope you funk out. If it's to be used by God, and that's God where God's called you, and God's going to use that as a ministry, And that's going to do, God's going to use that while you're going to your church and going soul winning and praying and reading your Bible and winning souls and helping people and taking mission trips. And by the way, praise God, we got people like this in our church who use their time and use their money. I would just hate to die with it with $250,000 in the bank. Not a lot of danger of that. I think you got that one. And then the government figure out where it goes. And that will find it. It's not that good. I want to see that. It's a great day to serve God. Let's go to Revelation 3 and finish up there. I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. We're talking about this year. I want you to think, what can I do for God this year? How can I get my priorities right this year? How can I just, if 2017 rolls around, what would I wish that I'd done this year? And by the way, Paul is pretty intense about this, wasn't he? Man, you better don't even consider. I mean, I wouldn't get married, are you? I'm just, you want to serve God without distraction. Whoa! That's Bible thinking, but certainly isn't our thinking today. Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest thou not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? You're worried about having all those things. You don't realize the condition of my sight you are. Young people, look up here. We have big things to do for God. Oh, yes. I like our front bigger than our front. All you young people, don't waste your life. Don't go try to get $1 million. Listen, I know I'm not against you, and I think you gotta work hard and be diligent and do your best and all those things. Let me tell you, most important, in a million years, nobody's gonna care how famous you are. Or what kind of car you drove. Helen, nobody's gonna care in 100 years. How many mansions you have? Nobody's gonna care if you drove a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. What's gonna matter is what you did for Christ. I want you all to consider, you young people, your ministry. And start now. Save your money for it. And I want you to consider, you know what? If I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and by the way, let me just tell you, personally, I was called to ministry before I had a career in mind, really. I wasn't serious about anything. I started over at 16 again. I had a choice. I'd do the same thing in a minute. In a minute. I wouldn't say, I wouldn't even do that. It wouldn't last that long. It's a ministry. Man, nothing's more rewarding than serving God. And you know what? We've got to make a difference because this world needs us right now. It's a great day to serve God. There's great things to do and great opportunities. And I'm having a ball serving God. And there's great opportunities and have an impact. And you can do great things for God. But you've got to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And you may be Russell Anderson where you do make good money and God just blesses you. And you can give a lot. That's okay. With that. That's good. That's godly. That's fine. That's what God has for you. But his money isn't in ours. And his treasure isn't there. Those who are rich toward God, that's what you want to be. All they want to say is don't die with your barns full. You say, I'm going to someday. Something is different. You don't have a guarantee tomorrow. Just live for God. Whatever God has for you, live for God. Give to God. Help people. Make a difference. Don't waste your life living for this present world. What a waste. And, by the way, be diligent. Work hard. Be good with your money. I'm for that. We preach that. And do all those things. But it's all for God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do not die with your barns full. That's foolish. Be ready to meet God. Be rich toward God. And lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust have corrupt and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay for yourself treasures in heaven. Where thieves don't break through. That's what Jesus said. We say, well, that doesn't feel quite right. It's about this life. It's about a career. It's about succeeding. That's what the world calls it. And you've heard it so much, you think the Bible says that, but it doesn't. All right? Let's put God first. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. May we not die with our barns, for we will put you first. May we do mighty things for you, Lord. May we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, we have so many different passages that say this. We didn't go to the usual ones. We just talk about a parable and a man who wanted inheritance. But Lord, we look at this, and Lord, we think kind of wrong. I pray tonight that we miss the gist of the message. It's not about not doing well and not trying to harvest it. And Lord, help us to seek your kingdom first. And not lay up treasures on earth, but lay them up in heaven. We thank you for your word that teaches these things. May we get our priorities straight. And may our barns be empty when you come. And may our heavenly barns be full. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Hands are going to come. Now, you might not say, I don't have any money. I don't have a full bank account anyway. Or I don't have any time anyway. I understand that. It's the way of thinking. It's, are you seeking God's kingdom first? Are you prioritizing what God prioritizes? Are you thinking about treasures in heaven? Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. If you're not playing a sec, I just want to ask you to come to God and say, Lord, I've got to be more heavenly minded. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Colossians 3:1-2. It's all over the Bible. Young people, plan on serving God your whole life and give a year or two to God. Go win some souls. Go help somebody in some field. Go through some open door. And come back and do what you gotta do. But let's seek God's kingdom first. Father, I pray you bless this invitation. May we just get our thinking right and may you speak to us. May we get these things prioritized. May we think like you think. And may we understand the urgency that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 7. And then Jesus talked about Luke 12 and other passages, Lord. May we understand what matters and not let the world control everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.